Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today comes from Luke's gospel, chapter 12, verses 32 to 40. Here when Jesus talks about treasure and feeding the poor, we hear an appeal to spend treasure more faithfully. Instead, Jesus is warning us that what we truly value will determine who we are and how we live. If wealth is our treasure, we will be unable to follow Jesus, or so it seems in this text. Jesus is not about gaining wealth. But what does he really mean by wealth? Hear now from the Gospel according to Luke. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where there is no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will also be. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have him sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or the near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy One, we come to you this morning and seeking our treasure that we find in you. We give you thanks. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So where is your treasure? Do you ever feel like you spend your life waiting on other people to get ready? How many of you feel like you're always waiting on somebody to get ready in your household? Okay. How many of you then on the flip side of that are the one who's never on time? And other people are constantly nagging you to hurry up and get ready. Well, parents often feel like their life is one long cycle of hurry up and wait. A dad named Rodney LaCroix posted the following on Twitter. What I say, be ready, we are leaving in 5 minutes. What the child hears, get undressed, start finger painting, and lose at least one shoe. Now, kids can be forgiven for not understanding the concept of get ready, but it's a lot harder to laugh it off when it happens to us adults. Except perhaps when you lose your keys, which I have done many times. In today's lesson from Luke's gospel, Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples to carry on his work after death. He's been trying to warn them about this for a while now, but they just don't understand. It's like Rodney LaCroix's tweet, what I say versus what they hear. This whole chapter of Luke chapter 12 could be titled, Wake Up, Get Ready. And we need to pay close attention to this message because Jesus is speaking the same message to us today. Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, as I utter the word treasure, I know some of you are thinking this preacher is going to start talking about money again. Well, this preacher's only really talked about that once. And though we could be talking about money, I think we're talking about a whole lot more. Now, you may feel the urge right now to hold on to your wallet. Well, I would remind you that Jesus did brought this subject up, actually, not me. And he counsels all of us to sell our possessions and give to the poor. Now, that sounds like Jesus. He tells us not to be afraid because the Father wishes to give us more, to give us the abundance of the kingdom. The problem is the bank won't take kingdom for a payment. It just doesn't work that way, does it? And as the dollar we see is worth less and less and inflation has hit us, prices are hiking up at the stores and gas still remains high, although yesterday I saw it under $4. I was amazed. But food shortages, we keep hearing about that and seeing it on our shelves, and it just goes on and on. So we get afraid, don't we? Afraid we won't have enough now. And when we are retired, afraid our kids won't get what they need. Afraid that, well, if we're honest, that we are not keeping up with the Joneses next door who just took off on an expensive island vacation with their whole family. Mostly we are afraid that talking about these things is going to separate us from our treasure. So let's just not talk about that. Leads me to think we're afraid of being afraid. Fear seems to dominate us, doesn't it? If we calm down, however, and we listen closely to what Jesus is saying and is trying to Jesus is not trying to separate us from the treasures that we have at all. Instead, he is telling us the truth about who we are, ourselves. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Instead, that is what he's talking about. Now, this could mean money. It could mean possessions. It could mean ideologies or anything that we think is more highly than we think of our relationships with one another and with God. Jesus is simply telling us that treasure and heart go together. So where the treasure goes, the heart follows. The heart is the seat of the soul and where our spirit meets the holy. Separate this and we plummet into a place where ego begins to run the show. And that never goes very far. This won't be the last time that Jesus talks about treasure. Later on in chapter 18 of the same book in Luke, Jesus encounters a wealthy man who wishes to find eternal life. This is his slated passion and his stated goal in life. And Jesus tells him to simply obey the commandments and life will be his. And when the man responds in verse 21 of that chapter, I have kept all these since my youth. So Jesus turns up the heat a little bit. He tells the man to go sell everything, give to the poor, and to come and follow him to the road on the road to Jerusalem. The man does not seem to struggle with his decision. You don't see that. The next text says he became quite sad. He just walks off, walks back to his house and his riches, back to his old ways of doing things and staying in sadness. In other words, I would say this man is stuck. We are told he cannot follow because of his great wealth. Treasure and heart, you see, must go together, not be separated. So while the man professed that he wished more than anything to find eternal life, which was staring at him in his face, yes, Jesus. The truth was that his real treasure was his wealth, and only that. Is Jesus telling him to sell everything and live in poverty? It seems to be a disconnect here every time I read this. That alone is not what Jesus' message is. His message, God's message to us today, is that connection in relationships is the real deal. It's the real relationship. It's why people come into the church and see that the Spirit lives among us and that we are joyful with that. That is the treasure. Jesus said, go first within and connect with your Spirit. Go to that quiet place in your heart. Connect with God. You can talk to your Creator. There is where the real treasure is, because there is where God, the Holy, the Divine, connects with us and then navigates us through this life. So when we pray, actually, and I would encourage all of us to do this if you're not already, pray with the Bible open. Choose the Psalms. I love to pray through the Psalms. Choose one a day and just pray it. It's amazing what comes to you when you do that. There's such treasure there, such wisdom, such love and courage and hope and eternal life that comes from the many stories even that we read in the Bible. And those stories are our stories. So once we have that connection, then go and connect and love others. Unfortunately, we live in a very disconnected world. Though things are better since we began in 3 years ago, we seem to have lost something. We seem to have lost a lot of what is real connection. Now, I'm not saying we're not doing this, but I also am observing that meeting for coffee or lunch these days is not happening as much. You see, face-to-face contact is so very meaningful. Now, some prefer instead to give people a slice of their life on social media, but that's just a slice. You might get a bunch of likes, but not anything to really build on. And Jesus did not just tell him to spend his treasure on different things. Jesus revealed that what the man really had his heart set on. He shows us all that treasure and heart cannot and should not be separated. We also read that Jesus told Zacchaeus, the tax collector, where your treasure is, there will be your heart. This was a little man who was hated by the Jews because he collected taxes from them. He had no friends. He had no connection. This pitiful little man may have longed most, you see, for acceptance and love in a world that would not yield to him. He longed for those relationships. You see, isn't that what we all want, though? We have so much anxiety because we feel afraid and so disconnected from one another, even in the body of Christ. I'm going to read something to you that I read this morning in a book that I would encourage all of us to read. Becoming a Blessed Church by N. Graham Standish. He said, a blessed church has three A's. Awake to the Christ, in that it responds to Paul's admonition, awake, be alert. So awake, aware of the mystical, that God is present in our music, in our prayer, in our relationships, in our sermons, in our meetings, in groups, in fellowship, ministry, and mission. Those aha moments where we suddenly see that God is with us. The blessings of a blessed church is when you can go to a church council meeting or any meeting and have those aha moments, because Christ is in the center of those meetings. And then the third is alive. That is fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is seen. And when pastors and churches have those three things, amazing, astonishing things begin to happen, both in the church and in the community. It spreads. It's important that we understand this in the days that we live in. To be awake, to be aware, to be alive. Why? Because we have so many different feelings and thoughts about all kinds of things in our society today. I remember days when we could actually have healthy debates and conversations, have differences of opinions. I haven't seen that in a long time. People are afraid to speak up, often feeling that they might be judged. So how can we sit with each other and accept varying views that we all have peacefully and have these three elements in our conversations? What must we do to open our hearts to one another so that we don't judge, that we say, yeah, okay, you can have that opinion and I'll have this opinion, but we love each other because Christ is in us. What do we treasure the most here in South Britain Congregational Church? What we really want, if we're honest, is the treasure of connection and acceptance and love that comes in organic ways as we interact with one another. You know, that afternoon, sitting across the table from that rich man was his heart's desire. And it meant more than anything that he had. His treasure was love. And love came calling in the person of Jesus, who took time to connect with him and sort out his life. We need that. I have perceived this passage as a call from Jesus to take my treasure and reinvest it where I want my heart to be. If I gave more treasure to the poor, my heart would somehow be in the right place. I'd be a better person. But the trouble with that is that it leaves me clinging to the same treasure chest. Like the rich man who could not follow, I'm still making my heart's place amidst my possessions. This text today is not about reallocation or reinvestment. It's about treasuring what is real and having a passion for that that lasts. It's about changing what I treasure because I treasure you. I treasure us. It's about desiring connection, love, and acceptance more than anything else. And Jesus showed him how. You know, when you've lost someone you love dearly, or by death or even a breakup, or you've lost an opportunity that you could have helped someone, it's only then, after it's over, that we realize what our real treasure was. That is the treasure that never ends. True connection, love, acceptance leads to a beautiful life full of forever treasure. When you know that, all the other things in this life that you may possess kind of fades away. Where your heart is, there will your heart be. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what is your treasure? Well, maybe you can say, well, Pastor, you don't know my family. You don't know my friends. I can't connect with them. Well, then find people you can connect with who will give you the love that you need. Can Jesus be that treasure? Of course. When he is, the poor are fed and we are set free. When Jesus is our treasure, then in him our hearts can dwell. When he is our treasure, things change in our lives. Amazing things, as Standish says, astonishing things happen in our lives. More importantly, we grow. And we keep growing, even into our old age, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we can find new relationships that are real and supportive throughout life. Turning our hearts each day to what really matters is the call of God so that we live the way God wants us to live. And I pray that we continue to do that in this community. May we turn our hearts today to the treasure of love and relationship, and then your treasures, our treasures, will continue to abound. Thanks be to God. Amen.